Thank you, Brother Gert, and good evening. I remember that song that the choir sang, "What Sins Are You Talking About?" And I said to Lucy, it must have been at least 18 to 20 years ago, we were in the Dreamer, and the first boat I got, and we were all in Say Rock Harbor, and Brother Ludi had it on Gospel Express. And I remember as we were humming that tune the whole trip, "What Sins Are You Talking About?" I don't remember them anymore. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Oh, boy, I'm so glad of that. Tonight, we'd like to turn to Genesis again, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Well-known story. Normally, we have this spoken to us from worship service or maybe in a ministry service, but tonight, I want to look at it in the gospel. Genesis 2, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham." And he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto this young man, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." I'm sure God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Tonight, where the time that's before us, we'd like to look at the trial of Abraham's faith, the obedience of his faith, and the reward of his faith. You know, Abraham was a man, like he said, of faith. Abraham was a faith, and a faith that justifies. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham had a faith that testifies, because he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham had a faith that verifies. They knew where he stood between Ai and Bethel. Abraham had a faith that multiplies. God said, "Thy seed shall be like the dust of the earth, that no man can number. And Abraham had a faith of enterprise. He went out, not knowing where he went. His seal of faith made his faith prospective. His steps of faith, showing his faith, was progressive. His seed of faith proves that his faith was productive. And his strength of faith, for it was persuasive. He staggered not at the promises of God. First, the trial of faith. Let's look at its purpose for a few moments. The purpose of the trial was to test and to prove Abraham. James 1:12 says this, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." The man that endureth, receiveth the crown of life. James pronounces a blessing on the person who stands up on the trial. A crown of life. If you had not gone through that trial, you would have missed out on that crown of life. But how do I stand? Is the question tonight as a believer. As I go through that trial, do I complain? Am I bitter? Or am I thankful? In July, we were down in Nassau. I went in to see Brother Wade Sand's wife, Sister Marguerite. You know, she's been ill for a long time. Can't do anything for herself. She's like an intensive care room. And she spoke to me that day, I mean, just a glow on her face. When she saw me come into the room, just a smile came over her face. She's enduring the temptation. She's going to receive the crown of life. I came out of that room blessed that day. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as coming to man." I like this next part. It says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." Then another but promises to provide a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. The purpose of the trial. I must read to you 1 Peter 1:7, and this will tell me, give me the purpose. Peter says that the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. God tries us, tests us, to prove three things. And that's what he did here with Abraham. Our faith, our love, and our obedience. He says, "Abraham, let me see if you really believe me. Offer your son." And Abraham proved that he had faith to believe that God would raise him from the dead. He proved Abraham's faith. He proved Abraham's love. He says, "Abraham, I want to see if you love me more than you love your son." And Abraham proved that because he was willing to put him on and to slay him. And he says, "Abraham, I want to prove your obedience." And Abraham proved that he was willing to offer. So remember those three things as you go through a trial. God's proving your faith. He's proving your love. And he's proving your obedience. How do we come out? Well, that's the answer. The purpose of the trial. But then, the nature of the trial. The offering of a son. That bugs me down. Because I wonder if I could ever offer my son or my daughter for God. But Abraham had that kind of faith. And he did. But listen at what 1 John 4:10 says. If you think that's love, what Abraham did, listen at what 1 John 4:10 says. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'll tell you, God loved us while we were sinners. While we were dead, needing life. While we were guilty, needing forgiveness. That's when he sent his unique son, that we might be saved through him. But not only was it the offering of a son, it was an only son. In whom Abraham had all his hopes. Let me tell you tonight, God gave his only son. Just like Isaac, a miraculous son. The one whom he had all his hopes. For me and for you. I say tonight, what love? What boundless love? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There we see the source of love. And it's God. For God so loved the world. We see the extent of love. The world. And we see the sacrifice of love. God gave his only son. And we see the results of love. Whosoever believeth will not perish. Not only was the offering of a son. Not only an only son. But a well-beloved son. He could say when he come out of the Jordan River. This is my well-beloved son. In whom I am well pleased. Not only a well-beloved son, but a promised son. A son of promise. That's who Abraham had to offer. One who was promised to him that all the kindreds of the earth was going to be blessed. But Abraham gave him. And that's who God sent, a promised son. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. In the proper time. God's time. The time that the prophets foretold. God sent forth his son. No other one could say but his son. Let me remind you tonight. With Christ, there is endless hope. Always have hope with Christ. But without Christ, there's an hopeless end. Do you have him tonight? If not, why not before you leave this building tonight? And he sent him with one purpose, to redeem. To give us a new relationship that we could become sons of God. We looked at the trial of faith. Briefly, let's look at the obedience of faith. First, we must notice the prompt response. Early next morning, Abraham got up. And verses 3 to 6 tell us he got everything. He got his son. He got the wood. He got the donkey. He got everything ready. He didn't wait a minute. Next morning, the prompt response. Unreasoning, unquestioning God. What is your response tonight? Are you reasoning with God? You saying another time, not tonight? Why not have a prompt response tonight and accept him as your Savior? Look at the question. Look at the question. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Isaac says, Daddy, I see you got the fire. And that fire speaks of God's wrath. I see you got the wood. And that speaks of the corruption of man. But where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? That question has been all down through the years, through the Old Testament, unanswered. But John the Baptist, John 1:29, saw the Lord Jesus on the riverbanks, And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The question was answered. That's the Lamb of God. He went to Calvary and died as a lamb because he opened not his mouth. For rebels like me, for rebels like you, what a God. What a God. What a Savior. What a Savior. Look at the answer. Look at the answer. God shall provide himself a lamb. Let's break that down. God, the author of salvation. That's the author of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "For all things are of God." All things. "Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." God is the author of salvation. Let's break it down again. God will provide. God sees the need. And he meets it. Ezekiel 22:30 says, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap. And I found none. Not a righteous man on this earth could God find to stand in the gap." But God's going to meet that need. And he meets that need through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God shall provide himself a lamb. God himself is the provision, my friend, tonight. Listen at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:19. Says, to wit, that God was in Christ. God himself made the provision. Sometimes say God planned it. The Lord Jesus provided it. And the Holy Spirit empowered it. All you have to do is receive it. Look at Isaac's unresisting surrender. Verses 9 and 10 says, "Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of wood." You know, Isaac could have run away, couldn't he? Isaac, I believe, could have probably beaten his daddy and got away. But Isaac was willing to do the will of his father. Let me say to you reverently tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ could have run away. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone for you and for me. Oh, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a voluntary death. It says, "I lay it down. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." It was a vicarious death. Because he died there for you, for me. Instead of me, he took my place. It was a victorious death. Because he rose, praise God, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. 1 Peter 2:21-23 says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not." You know, it would have been me and you there. He said, "I'll get you back. I'll get you back one day." And I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ could have. But no, says he, threatened not. But said, "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." Reminded of a story. Many years ago, this happened in Russia. Nicholas II, one of the Caesars, was a person that was loved by many of the people. He was a father to many of the people there. One point of his life, he was made officer of a troop of soldiers in a fortress somewhere out in a remote place. He didn't live with the men, but he used to visit and check on them often. One night, the storm was blowing and a very cold night. He made his rounds to check on the people. He noticed that a light was on under the office building, in the office, but he could see it coming under the door. And he knew that something must have been wrong. He went into that building. When he got in, he saw his good friend Ivan. Ivan had got himself in trouble. Ivan had spent more than he was making. Ivan had gone into the government funds and taken money out and got further and further and further into debt. And he knew it was no way out. He says, my life is smashed. I'll kill myself. The auditors are coming tomorrow. I'll be imprisoned. I'll be dismissed of my job. As his friend Nicholas walked in, he saw Ivan holding a pistol in one hand, fast asleep. He looked on the table and he saw papers all over the table, tables spread all over. And he looked down and he saw a list of all the money that he owed, a long, long list of money that he owed. And at the bottom, Ivan had wrote, so great a debt, who can pay it? Nicholas took up the pen, his good friend, and wrote a couple words. He went over, took the gun from Ivan, and went back out softly. That morning, Ivan got up. He realized the auditors would soon be there. He reached for the gun, and it was gone. He ran over to the table to look, and there he noticed something was written down at the bottom of his list. So great a debt, who can pay it? Nicholas wrote underneath, I will pay it, your friend Nicholas. The story goes on to tell that the auditors was put off for 4 months and Nicholas restored back to his job. My friend, I tell you this story to say this. We owe so great a debt, each one of us tonight. We have to ask the question, who can pay it? And as we ask that question, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks from heaven. And he says, I will pay it. I'll pay that debt. We sometimes sing, we owe the debt we could not pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. I now can sing a brand new song. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Aren't you glad tonight if you know him? But if you don't know him, why not come and cash in? Because he paid the debt. It's already been paid. All you have to do is to receive it. Finally, the reward of faith. Let's look at the call. Look how Abraham was rewarded. God calls out. He says, Abraham, Abraham. And God saved Abraham that pain that he didn't save himself at the cross, because there he brought the knife down upon his son. But he saved Abraham that pain. Abraham, Abraham, let me ask you tonight. Do you hear that call? Bill, Bill. John, John, Mary, Mary, it might be the last time. God is patient. God is long-suffering. But one day it might end. Tonight, is he calling you? You know, it's 10 of those double calls in Scripture. We don't have time to look at them. Jacob, Jacob. Jacob is going down into Egypt to see Joseph. And God appears to him. Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, Martha, Martha, Simon, Simon, Saul, Saul, and Saul heeded the call. Saul on the Damascus Road accepted Christ. Will you heed the call tonight? Will you heed that call as he calls you? But the last three are solemn. Matthew 7, saith, they shall say in that day, not every one that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter. That's serious tonight. And it says again, many, many, not just a few will say, Lord, Lord, have they not prophesied in your name? Lord, didn't I sing in the choir? Lord, didn't I teach Sunday school? Lord, didn't I get up behind the pulpit? It says, but I'll say, I never knew you. I didn't know you. Depart from me. It says, there could be weeping. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. Says when you look and you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, my friend, when you look and you see mommy and daddy or husband and wife, it's going to be weeping. It's going to be pain, gnashing of teeth. Be sure tonight. Don't fool with your soul tonight. Be sure. Many's going to say it. And they're going to be said, I never knew you. Cast them out. Be careful tonight. Then at last, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that you and I tonight might not be forsaken? Oh, the love of God to us. Oh, the love of God to us. How could you turn him down tonight? Look at what the place was named. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And the greatest need we see in men tonight for fruition is to have that need of his sins forgiven. And yet you have the greatest helper tonight, and that's God. My God shall supply. And you have the greatest supplier tonight because he can meet your total needs. And you have the greatest resources tonight. Riches and glory. Out of its riches and glory. And I said that here on Tuesday evening. If a millionaire, not out of his riches, according to his riches, the millionaire offered you a dollar bill, that would be out of his riches. But if he offered you $100,000 tonight, that would be according to his riches. And that's how God is going to meet your need tonight, if you would come. God's riches, not according to what we deserved, but according to his mercy. Oh, the mercy of God. My God, and I close with this. The name of the banker shall supply the promise to pay all your need, the value of the note, according to its riches, the capital of the bank, in glory, the address of the bank, by Christ Jesus, the signature at the bottom, without which it is worthless. Do you have his signature tonight? Do you know that you've been born again? I trust before you leave this building tonight, you will know. I close with this story. Many years ago, the Duke of Windsor, who was the Prince of Wales, arranged to visit the hospitals in London where many of the wounded soldiers in the World War was being treated. As the doctor started to show him around the rooms, the prince said to him, Doctor, I understand you have some of the worst wounded soldiers in the country here. Says, we do. Says, Doctor, how many do you have? Says, 36. Says, well, I would like to see each and every one. The prince carried him around and he visited 30 of the rooms, tried to give a comfort and hope to each one, asked about their families. And then the doctor started to lead him outside. Says, Doctor, you told me it was 36. I've only seen 30. Says, well, the prince, we wanted to save you having to see such an awful sight. We wanted to save you that pain. Says, I must see everyone. Took the prince into a room where 5 men were laying. Some of them were blind. Some had an arm gone. some a leg gone. He tried to give comfort. He tried to give hope and tried to cheer them. He says, "Doctor, there's one more. I must see that last one." The doctor knew he would not take no for an answer. He showed him into that last room. When he got into that room, the prince was speechless. There was a man laying with no arms, no legs, blind. What a sight to see. The prince couldn't say a word. He knelt down to his bedside and kissed him on his forehead. He lifted up his head with tears streaming down his face. He turned to the doctor. And he says the words he said, "Wounded for me. Wounded for me." Oh, my friend tonight, I want to point you to one. Wounded much worse than that. Because he was wounded by God. Not only what men did to him and what a sight that was. Beyond recognition. But there God took my sin and your sin and placed them on his only son, his well-beloved son, his promised son. And there he lashes out upon him all his hatred against sin. Oh, it must have broken his heart for you and for me. I don't know no better friend I could offer to you tonight. I don't know. My heart is full tonight. It just breaks my heart to know that someone would leave without Christ tonight. I trust that you'll be wise tonight and trust him as you see. Let's pray. You might say, "Well, Freddie, I'd like to know tonight how I could trust him, how I could know him." My friends, have you ever realized that you're a sinner? Have you ever realized that you're in need of a Savior? You say, "Yes." Why don't you tell him tonight, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe you went to Calvary for me. I believe you paid that price in full there. I ask you to forgive me tonight. I ask you to come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, upon the promise of his word, he'll come in. He'll be your Savior tonight." Why not? If you could, we could help you. Don't leave the building. Don't leave tonight. We have a lot of the brethren here would love to talk with you. I would. Brother Ludi's here. Many are here. Please don't leave. Trust him tonight. Let's pray. Father, truly our hearts ache tonight when we stop and consider that it could be the last time someone in this meeting might hear the gospel who is not saved. How sad, oh God, to go out into eternity, to go to that awful place called hell where there's no return. Father, we pray that you would give them the courage tonight, that they might be bold enough to say, "I will take him as my Savior this very night." Father, now with your blessing, we ask these things in that precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. Give me a moment. I'd like to get to the door.